Now let's meet the Senate candidates in Senate District P. First of all, the Democrat Janet Reiser. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
For those who don't know you, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you reached the decision to run for public office?
Well, thank you. I'd be happy to, Michael. And thank you to KAKM and all the viewers at home that are watching this and participating in this process. I really appreciate that. Like you said, my name is Janet Reiser. And for a background, I have a degree in chemical engineering about 30 years ago. And I've been working in the private sector business now for about those 30 years. From technical positions as I worked my way up to executive management over the last 15 years, including executive leadership positions as chief operating officer and president of a couple of different engineering and construction companies. I now own my own business. I have two or three businesses, and I've created jobs, and I've made payroll with my own money, if I may add that. And the reason I'm also, just to let you know, I'm on the Chugach Board of Directors. I'm the vice chair of the Chugach Board. I'm also the board liaison to the Renewable Energy Committee and the chair of the Operations Committee. And what leads me to run and why I decided to do this is because I really believe that we need to have more private sector business experience in the state legislature. And I bring that. I bring a temperament that is able to work with a variety of different people. I've been very successful in my private career, and I want to bring some of those skills, that analytical approach, to the legislature in Juneau.
Okay, maybe we could start with the beginning then.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning.
If you get elected, what's the first bill you'll introduce?
Well, I think that there are some interesting things that I would like to see. I would particularly like to see decoupling of energy efficiency and energy rates. I think that that's worked well in other states, and that inspires and contributes to what we can do for energy efficiency here in Alaska.
What would that mean specifically for those who are unfamiliar with the term of art?
Okay, well, the term of art, it generally means, and there are very many ways to do this, and certainly we'd have to use what works best for Alaska. But it basically allows you to have some of the funds that would be in your rate used for energy efficiency without burdening the ratepayer with that.
Okay. The Alaska legislature spends more money on education than any other program. Are we getting our money's worth?
Well, you know, we have unique challenges here with the rural programs as well as the university system that we have here. I think we can do better. I think we can do a lot better. I know that early child care, early education is very helpful to keep our dropout rates low. I'm very focused on education. I want to make sure we have vocational education as well as professional administrative education so that we can keep the good jobs in Alaska with our own people and our own children. I didn't mention earlier, but I've lived here 25 years. I have three grown children and a grandchild and another one on the way, and I really want to see this state be the place to live for them that it has been for me.
Next Tuesday, how will you vote on the ballot propositions?
Do you want both of them?
Both of them.
I will be voting no on ballot proposition number one. I will also, with a lot of concern and a lot of deliberate thought, be voting no on ballot proposition number two as well. I certainly appreciate parents' involvement. I'm very involved in my children's life, but I know from experience that there are times when you can't get that kind of communication no matter how hard you try. And I certainly don't want to see the government overreach that I believe that this measure anticipates.
Okay. What can we do about the natural gas shortage or approaching natural gas shortage in South Central Alaska?
Wow, that is a loaded question. There are lots of possibilities on the horizon. There's certainly interesting gas pipeline. There's continued drilling in Cook Inlet. There's import of LNGs. There are a lot of opportunities. And I would apply to those opportunities exactly what I would do in my business career, which would be have a deliberate assessment of the risks and benefits of each of those opportunities to bring gas into Alaska.
Okay. I know there's not much time for this, but is climate change affecting Alaska? And what is to be done, if you can say something brief?
Something brief. Okay, I'll try something brief. I believe climate change is affecting the whole world. What can be done? I think a very small part of that is attributable to human
endeavors,
fossil fuel spending. I think we can all do our part. I look at it as a pollution issue as well. I think that we have to look at renewables, and I think that we have to focus on energy efficiency and conservation.
Thank you. You now have 1 minute for a closing statement.
Well, I'd like to thank you, and I appreciate the attention for the listeners. I feel very strongly about the opportunities and the issues that are facing us in Alaska, and I very strongly want to see that a future for our children that's similar to the one we have now. We need to fill the pipeline. Our production is waning, and our costs are increasing. We need to take a sharp pencil to the operating budget. We need to create jobs. I've been a chief executive officer of several corporations, and not only is it cutting spending and using our resources widely, but it is creating jobs, and we need to have the education to grow our own, stop the brain drain, and grow our own workforce and keep the money and the jobs in Alaska.
Thank you very much. Now let's meet the Republicans, and we are in a contested primary, so we'll have opening statements from them. They'll have opportunities to ask one another questions, and the host will ask them some questions as well. Let's start with Kathy Giesel. Please, your opening statement of 1 minute.
Well, thank you, Michael. My name is Kathy Giesel. I'm running for the State Senate in District P. I was born and raised in Alaska, in Fairbanks. I moved down south here about 35 years ago. My husband and I have lived here in the district for 30 years in the house that he built for us and where we raised our three children. Two of our sons have remained in Alaska, and we're really thrilled about that. We have two granddaughters that live in the Eagle River part of the district and a grandson on the way soon. I'm a registered nurse. I've been a registered nurse in Alaska for 35 years. I'm also a nurse practitioner. I've been a nurse practitioner for 10 years here in Alaska. I've worked in various hospitals, clinics around the state, and also here in Anchorage. I own my own consulting business at this time. I'm very concerned about our future. I'm concerned that we keep developing our natural resources, which provide us with a robust, prosperous economy, and that we diversify our economy. I'm also hopeful that we can find a good, reliable source of energy.
Thank you very much. Now let's meet Jennifer Johnston.
Hi, thank you for having this, and thank you all for listening and watching on television. It's been no secret the municipality of Anchorage has faced some challenges over the last number of years, and as an assembly person, I've had a number of challenges with those challenges. One of the challenges was actually convincing other assembly members and the administration that we were running on an unsustainable financial cliff. The second challenge was once we went over that cliff to make the draconian cuts that we needed to make to get back to fiscal health. I've been doing that. One thing about local government is that there's nothing between an assembly member and the pothole. And when you're accountable at that level, when it's your email address and it's your phone and you can be seen on the street and there's no one between you, not a staff, then as people come to you or community leaders or community groups with their wants and needs, and you have to balance that on the taxpayers and on the sustainability of the budget. I've done that. I've proven my experience, and I now want to take that experience to Juneau. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now let's meet Mark Morinell.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for having me today. My name is Mark Morinell. I, too, am a candidate for State Senate in District P here in Anchorage. My background is varied and diverse. I was an electrical engineer by degree, and that was a while ago as well. I was also project manager for the Air Force. I worked there in a civilian capacity. I was a sales rep, sales engineer, I guess, for the Hewlett-Packard Company. And I also had my own software company back in Ohio. We had employees in Dayton, Ohio, and Washington, D.C. In 1990, I kind of made an abrupt 90-degree turn and went off into medicine. And at this point in my life, I'm a cardiologist and I'm an owner and partner at the Alaska Heart Institute. The reason I'm running right now is because I think that Alaskans need real-world experience down in Juneau. I think that we've had enough politicians, enough political people. There's too many commissions and studies, and I think we need people that actually have real-world proven skills that can be applied to the process to help make things better. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Jennifer Johnston, you have an opportunity to ask a question of one of your opponents. This will be a 30-second question, 1 minute answer, 1 minute rebuttal, and a 15-second final response.
Dr. Marnell, one of the highest costs for both private and public sector right now is health cost. And as a physician, how do you suggest that we're going to address that and make a difference, and how are we going to bring those costs down?
The problem with healthcare, and you're very right, there is cost is a big problem. The main reason, and the way I see it, is that technology and expectations are outstripping our ability to help pay for it these days. Many years ago, something that I deal with every day, a heart attack, would have been essentially a fatal ailment. Nowadays, people are surviving heart attacks and going on to live wonderful, long, healthy, productive lives. But getting from point A to point B requires an awful lot of not only education for people providing it, but also a lot of skills and a lot of technology to get there. Things like drug-eluting stents, things like cardiac MRI, cardiac CT, cardiac surgery, things that were not even heard of 50 years ago are now commonplace, and they're very expensive. The things that we're going to have to look to do is we're going to have to probably get people to understand more of what their expectations are when they approach healthcare. You know, are we really going to be a society where everything is allowed to be given, or are we going to have to start, you know, making people understand that that there may be limits in care? Until we're able to make those very difficult decisions about how we're going to provide the care, the costs are going to continue to rise.
Jennifer Johnson, you have 1 minute rebuttal.
That's interesting, and I'm kind of at the same conclusion as you, is that the costs are going to continue to rise as our technology increases and our demand increases. I'm not sure if either of us have quite the answers, but I think this is a huge problem, and I look forward to working with you on it and addressing it. Thank you.
Final thoughts, 15 seconds.
Sure. Thank you, too, Jennifer. It's one of those things that I deal with as a cardiologist every day. I mean, when you look at somebody across from the examination table, you try to be empathetic and realize that what they're going through is going to be very costly. But aside, you know, as a society, sometimes we have to make the decision whether or not we're going to try to treat the person or we're going to try to make pocketbook issues. Until we're able to come together, it's going to be hard to do that.
Okay. Mr. Mornell, you have your opportunity to ask one of your opponents a question.
Thank you. I'd like to ask Ms. Giesel a question, if I may. Kathy, at one of our last meetings at the District 3132 joint meeting we had down there about a week or a couple weeks ago, you made a comment about the Medicare-only clinic that you really didn't approve of the state using money to support that. I'm just curious, maybe the voters are too, as to why you feel that way.
Well, thank you for the question, Mark. You know, I believe that the private sector is the best place for these kinds of projects. We have a growing state government budget. We need to make some cuts. Where will those cuts be? Right now, our state budget is driven by two entitlement programs. One being education, the second being healthcare. Healthcare is expanding in expense. Adding yet something else to the responsibility of state government is not the direction to go as far as managing those costs. I believe that if the plan for the Medicare clinic were viable, then there would be banks willing to make those loans, that there would be a revenue source for that clinic. So I would much prefer to see the private sector take over the management of that project.
I think I would counter that argument by saying that the Medicare clinic was actually funded in part by donations and monies raised through contributions in the private sector. I think one thing we have to be concerned about is if the state is not willing to provide some type of means to care for those, at least help care for those of Medicare age, people are going to be leaving the state. I've had personal experiences with people doing that. We need to look a little different.
You have 15 seconds for a final response.
I absolutely agree. We need to look at a better solution. And I think fundamentally, Medicare is a broken system, and that's been fairly well proven. I think that we need to start over and look at private funding and personal responsibility.
Okay, it's your opportunity to ask a question of one of your Republican opponents.
All right, thank you. My question will be for Ms. Johnston. You ran for re-election to the Anchorage Assembly earlier this year, signing a pledge to serve if elected. Can you explain why, within a week of being sworn in to serve for an additional 3 years on the Assembly, that you abandoned your constituents to run for the State Senate?
First of all, I'm not sure why I signed a pledge to serve. That isn't part of the process, but that's fine. If I could write a script, it wouldn't have been the script I wanted, but I made a promise to two very important public servants. One was to Senator Con Bundy, and one was to Mayor Dan Sullivan. And what I promised to Senator Con Bundy is I would not run against him, and I kept that promise. And so he couldn't make up his mind, and he didn't till well into the session. With Mayor Dan Sullivan, I promised him that I would be part of the 2011 budget process, and I am going to be part of that process. That is a pivotal year. In our fiscal, our six-year financial fiscal plan, 2011 is the year that we might have an opportunity to get back into fiscal health.
1 minute for
rebuttal. Well, thank you. I actually have a copy of the signed pledge that people that run for the assembly as well as the school board sign when they file to run for that seat. You've stated that you've talked with Mayor Sullivan about this, and yet as I've gone door to door, I've not met any voters that knew that you were planning to do this. I think they're concerned.
Well, that's fine, Kathy. You know, and you and Mark and I all talked about it last fall. And we all make our choices. You made your choices. You told me you're running for a different office. But, you know, it's however it goes, and the voters will decide. And thank you for the question.
Okay, it's now the host's question, and I'm going to start with Dr. Morinell. And I'm going to ask you and then ask the others, how do you differentiate yourself from your opponents, and what are the voters going to get if they get you?
Well, I'm kind of a real world guy. I mean, my experience is in the private sector. You know, I've created jobs. I've signed a paycheck both front and the back. I'm a cardiologist. I think that kind of sets me apart, at least with education and my job experience. I'm also an engineer. So when you look at my background, it's pretty varied. And when you look at the issues that are facing our state right now, they're technical. I think I have the background to comprehend that. There is a lot of concern, at least in my district, when I go door to door, about people of Medicare age not getting care or having problems with care. And they ask me about that almost every single time when they find out I'm a doctor. So I think that the ability to address those points from a position of not necessarily authority, but certainly of experience, I think sets me apart as well.
Okay, Kathy Giesel, same question. What is the public going to get you, the voters going to get if they get you instead of your opponents?
Well, I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I was here before statehood and before petroleum, so I know what a small economy this was. I'm really pleased that we've been able to move forward with the development of our natural resources on the North Slope. I have committed a long, long years of hard work, learning the issues, volunteering in state government, and I think I know the issues really well. I'm also very concerned about our future, and I think I bring that concern to the table.
Thank you. Jennifer Johnston.
Same question?
Yes.
I bring experience, and that really means a lot. I bring experience both as a legislator, somebody that's worked in the majority as a legislative branch, and somebody that's worked in the minority. I have made things happen. I've been accountable. I have a track record, and I've also, as with all of us, I do have a love of the state. I've been here for 35 years. Wasn't lucky enough to be born here, but I do love the state.
Okay, thank you. Let's start with Kathy Giesel this time in this round of questions. If elected, what's the first piece of legislation that you will introduce?
Michael, the first piece of legislation I would work on would be a revision of the progressivity of ACEs. I think that this taxation structure has suppressed development and exploration on the North Slope. There's pretty strong evidence of that. Last week, we had a lease sale in the NPRA that drew one bidder on only 5 of the leases out of 150. I think our tax structure needs a readdressing and adjustment.
Thank you. Jennifer Johnston.
Actually, Kathy and I both agree on this. ACEs does need to be addressed, and that would be my first item. When you were asking before as far as what legislation you would introduce, and sometimes I think we shouldn't be going to Juneau thinking of introducing legislation because sometimes maybe we have too much legislation.
Okay. Dr. Morinell.
Yeah, I actually agree with my colleagues here, but in order just to use up a little camera time, you know, I would also try to introduce the stimulus for small business, things that we can do, potentially tax breaks, things to kind of clear away the impediments so that people can actually feel comfortable, at least somewhat secure, you know, when they maybe give up a job they've had for a long time and decide to strike out on their own. I think that our economy will blossom if we actually encourage people to go out and take a chance and form their own business.
Okay. Let's have an education question. We'll start with Jennifer Johnston. The state spends more money on education than any other program. Are we getting our money's worth?
No, we're not.
Why not?
And one of the problems with education is it's always in crisis. It's always trying to meet needs that maybe it can't fulfill. And I've actually been working with an educational program, the Cook Inlet Tribal Education Program. That's what I've been doing for a number of years. And with that program, what we've done is we addressed the program to make it academic, not social. And the children that I've worked with the Cook Inlet Tribal Council are all very bright children. And I know with a little bit of respect and a lot of academics, they are going to succeed. In the past, what we've done is we've addressed it socially, and that sometimes doesn't work. I realize that everybody comes to a school with different social issues, but if you give a school a safe place to learn, kids will learn. They're very resilient.
Thank you, Jennifer Johnson. Dr. Mornell.
Thank you. Yes, I agree with Jennifer on this one as well. I don't think that the state's getting their money's worth, but I don't really think it's all the state's fault, per se. I think that education is something that has to be nurtured and engendered in the house, okay? I think that that's the responsibility of the parents to provide, you know, an interest and a desire to learn. Now, obviously not all children are gonna grasp that, but I think that a lot of that begins in the house. And if there is not a feeling, or if there's not a value that's instilled in the child when they're young that they want to embrace education, all the money in the world that the government spends is probably not gonna be able to make that much of a difference. So I think that if the state can do anything, they need to be sympathetic to the fact that there is this problem at home and try to look at ways of trying to make that better.
Thank you very much. Kathy Giesel, you have 1 minute.
Thank you. I don't believe that we're getting our money's worth, so to speak, out of our education dollars. Remember that about 50% of those education dollars come from the federal government. So with that money comes strings and requirements. Education is best run by parents at the local level, and I would very much like to see that happen. I'd also like to see an expansion of our career and technical education programs around the state. We have a wonderful program here at the King Career Center, but the access to that program is limited because of requirements for graduation credits. I'd like to see that expanded. We also have a wonderful partnership with the private sector at King Career Center, with NCCAT, with a simulation lab there. I think it offers students a variety of opportunities in their education and career choices.
Thank you very much. Let's go directly to closing statements, and we'll start. We'll have 1 minute with Dr. Mornell.
Thank you once again. My name is Mark Mornell. I am running for State Senate District P in Anchorage. This is my first foray into politics. I'm having a good time. I'm learning something every day. But the reason I'm out here is because I think that Alaska needs to have people in Juneau that are real-world proven professionals that can bring their skill set to the table. If you look at the way that this country was set up, you know, 200-plus years ago, it was not politicians that went to the first Congress. It was people that had real-world experience. I think if we have more of those kind of folks, people that understand business principles, return on investment, opportunities and ways to save money and to make money, I think if we can instill that the same kind of value systems that business people have to have in government, we'll do a lot better. I would really appreciate your vote on the 24th. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. A 1 minute statement from Jennifer Johnston.
Again, thank you for having this. It's interesting. I think all four of us sitting here have business experience and real life experience, and all four of us here really enjoy and love Alaska, and that's why we're doing it. And I do too. I have the experience of working with government and working with the public as a government, as a public service. This is my time to do public service. I enjoy it, and I look forward to going to Juneau. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Kathy Giesel, you will have the final opportunity for a 1 minute statement.
Thank you. I was born and raised here. I lived here before statehood, before petroleum, and before Prudhoe. I know what a wonderful, vibrant, prosperous, and productive economy we can have. And I'd like to see us go back to that and continue to develop it. I think there's three things that voters need to consider as they look at the ballot and consider who to vote for. Number one, they need to consider who will work hard for them. I have a proven history of working hard for the last 9 years as a volunteer on various state boards, boards, commissions, task forces, and transition teams. I know how to do the research into tough topics, do deep dive into issues, and come up with some good answers. I also think voters are looking for someone who's a good listener, who cares about their concerns. I promise you that I will continue to listen for your concerns. And last of all, I believe that voters are looking for integrity. I promise that I will always be honest with you. I want to put the future back in our state slogan, North to the Future. I ask for your vote.
Thank you very much, candidates in Senate District P.